Today was the day. You're ready. All right. Well, if you're not, you can be. And if you are, you can be prepared to help others be ready to meet God. How many know that if we're in the boat with Jesus, there's other people that need to get on? Amen. We need to reach out our hand. Amen. Throw the lifesaver out, the gospel, to people that are drowning, amen, in destruction. God has saved us for a reason, because He's been so good to us. We need to also be good to others. Repentance is a word that is, I've mentioned before, but it's often misunderstood. And so we're going to talk about repentance today. What is repentance? And because one is not fully prepared to meet God until they have repented. How many know it's not enough just to say you're sorry? Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. And in verse 45, chapter 24 of Luke, in verse 45, how many know that we cannot understand the Scriptures unless the Lord opens them up to us? Amen. And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then he said to them, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 47, that two things, repentance and remission of sins, should be preached in His name. Repentance and remission. You cannot have remission of sins unless there is first repentance. It means to change one's mind. To repent means to change one's mind or to turn away from. Remission means to be released from or set free from. Repentance is to turn away from, and remission is to be set free from. There can be no forgiveness of sins without genuine repentance. Make no mistake about this. There is a counterfeit gospel today that requires no repentance, that offers salvation and forgiveness without repentance. Jesus said we are to preach these two things, repentance and remission of sins. Number one, many people fail to see their need to repent of their sins. Sometimes it's because they have received the wrong information. They have sat under the wrong teaching. Sometimes it's because they are blinded and self-righteous and feel that somehow their own goodness qualifies them for God's glory. Some people believe they are saved and yet have never been converted, have never really repented of their sin. In other words, there's been a false conversion. Some believe repentance is just saying, I'm sorry. Judas was sorry when he betrayed Jesus, and he went out and hung himself. Esau, the brother of Jacob, forfeited his birthright for a bowl of lentil stew. Remember the story in Genesis 25? And although he had mourned his loss with tears, he did not actually repent of the sin of despising God's promises. And he sought to undo the consequences of his decision by attempting to change his father's mind instead. Sometimes we try to reason with God and say, God, would you change your mind? When God is saying, you need to change your mind. God, I don't quite agree with what you say about that. Would you change your mind? God says you need to change your thinking. How many know He's smarter than we are? God's Word teaches that before a person's ready to repent, they must first recognize their sinfulness. Romans chapter 3 verse 20 says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law convinces and convicts us that we are sinners, that we have broken God's law, and therefore we are in need of a Savior. We're in need of God's mercy. But to offer somebody salvation just because they said a little prayer and yet there had been no heart repentance about their sin, no actual godly sorrow that produced a repentance, that produced the fruit of repentance, that I have turned away from my sin. It's not enough to come to God and say, I'm sorry. God says, you must repent or you will perish. You must forsake that sin. God commands all men everywhere to repent and to believe the gospel. Unless you repent, Jesus said, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is not just being sorry. Repentance is that place where you come to where I realize that not only am I sorry, I'm really sorry that I have affected God, that I've hurt God, that it was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. And no longer will I do those things that caused His death. No longer will I despise His goodness. Count as an unholy thing the precious blood of Christ that was shed for me. By doing despite unto the Spirit of grace and willfully choosing to rebel against God in my heart. And when God says that you need to repent, He means you need to turn around, change your mind, forsake that thing, and go into Him. Amen for mercy. Yes. It's when we turn our hearts to the Lord that there is mercy. How many know that you cannot turn your heart to the Lord and turn to your sin at the same time? You cannot be a double-minded man. You will be unstable in all of your ways. We must be sold out for Jesus. We must be single-minded. We must be focused. Amen? We're setting our eyes on the prize. We're looking at you, Jesus. We have turned away from lesser things to greater things. Amen? We have turned from death to life. We have been changed, transformed. There is no removal of sin until a person comes to the place where they are sorry enough to forsake their sin. Unfortunately, this is often not the case. People are not willing to turn away from their sin, really. They say with their mouth one thing, but they do another thing. It's called hypocrisy. We claim to be a follower of Christ, but we do things that we know God doesn't approve of. It's hypocrisy. It's called double-mindedness. You cannot serve two masters, Jesus said. You cannot serve God and serve sin. And the only way to turn to receive forgiveness or remission or removal of those sins is to turn fully to the Lord. Fully to the Lord. Jesus said in John 3:19, this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And He goes on to say, they do not come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. How many know there are no secrets with God? There are no secret closets. He sees all. He knows all. He knows the secret heart where we really live. And it's from the heart that man believes unto righteousness. It's in the heart that man truly repents towards God and has enough fear of God to realize that I can no longer live in those things that God disapproves of. Because we want to honor, we want to glorify our Father. We don't want to hurt the one that we love. How many would agree that repentance requires obeying God? There are some folks who for years they talk about, well, I'm working on it, I'm working on it, I'll try, I'll try. No, when are you going to stop? When are you going to repent is the question. You know what, folks? Sometimes people don't feel bad enough about their sin. Sometimes they're pacifying and petting that thing, and that thing is going to destroy them and put their soul in hell. Jesus said that obedience was the proof of belief. In Matthew 7:24, He said, whoever hears these words of mine, you have to hear it. These are people that are hearing the word of God and does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rocks. And you know how it goes. The floods came, right? The rains and the floods and the winds beat upon that house, and it stood firm. Because they were in agreement with the Father. They were in agreement with the Lord. They were single-minded. They were obedient. They were repentant. They were a penitent sinner. One that had turned. John the Baptist said that repentance has fruit. Matthew 3:7. But when he saw the scribes and Pharisees, even the religious leaders, coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. How many know that repentance has fruit? Repentance has evidence. A person who has repented of their sins has the evidence in them. Because when a person comes to that place where they truly in their heart they believe and they repent and they turn to God and they surrender their life, then God removes the sin and breaks the power of the curse in their life. But if we rationalize and we justify and we pet the thing and we try to add it to our lives, it doesn't work. Give no place to the devil. No place. None. It's the places that we have sympathy towards evil that the enemy has given access, isn't it? Oh, no big deal. Everybody else is doing it. I don't care if Christians are doing it. Don't do it if God says no. Because I have seen in situations where certain Christians hang around certain Christians because these certain Christians are compromisers and they can feel good about their sin or somehow try to rationalize or justify it. Man, hang out with people who are red hot for Jesus. Amen? Hang out with people that love Jesus. It's a matter of loving God. If we really love God, we don't do those things that He disapproves of. Right. If we truly love God, it means that we have repented. And when a person has repented, that means they have turned away. They have forsaken the old ways to follow Jesus Christ. When we go down into the waters of baptism, it means I have forsaken the old ways and now I walk in new life with Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3:16, for who having heard, the problem with Israel in the wilderness is what they did not believe what God said. I know what He said, but. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with Who was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned? Hebrews 3:16, 17. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So you see that their rebellion and their refusal to listen to the word of God was sin, and sin is synonymous with disobedience. So we see, and this is New Testament, that they could not enter in because of unbelief. He's taking an old example to show or reveal a present reality, a present truth. How many know that God still requires repentance today? Because the times of ignorance God had winked at, overlooking many things in the past, but today God requires, God demands that all men everywhere repent and believe the gospel. Psalms 106:24, it says that they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe His word, but they complained in their tents and did not heed. They didn't listen to the voice of the Lord. And then He raised up His hand in oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. How many know that the favor of God does not rest upon disobedience? It does not rest upon rebellion. A person who has truly repented is a person who has turned away from their sin, period. Because you cannot turn to Christ fully and still enjoy and live in a life that pleases the devil. Come on. Come on, anybody beside myself ever done that? Tried to live both ways? See, God's waking us up and He's saying, I want my church to not be defiled by those things. Touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. You shall be my son. I will be a father to you. Amen? God wants His people to be pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who are the pure in heart? The pure in heart are the repentant, the ones who have truly turned away from sin and the devil to Jesus Christ. Amen? And have surrendered their life, their future, their destiny to Jesus Christ, knowing that God has prepared a place for them. Amen? That God has a good thing in store for those who love Him. And that the favor of God may rest upon their life, and that their life might be blessed by God. Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance means I'm sorry enough to stop it, to turn from it, to forsake it. Are you hearing me today? Do not be mistaken in this. Repentance requires a change of mind. And in order to change your mind, you've got to change your thinking. You've got to change your thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How many know the battle begins in your mind? It begins in your thought life. What are you entertaining? What are you rationalizing? What are you accepting? What are you rejecting in your mind? What you think on, what you meditate on, will produce fruit eventually. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You can't help others if you've got a big blank in your eye. Amen. You can't take the sawdust out of your brother's eye with a big plank in your own. Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Repentance requires a change of mind. Repentance requires a sorrow that humbles us before God. True repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Judas was sorry, but he went out and he hung himself. He tried to undo it his own way. It's not enough to say, I'm sorry. Godly sorrow that produces true repentance, a change of mind, a change of direction, is that conviction of the Spirit that brings us to a place where we are truly broken in heart, contrite in spirit, where we are broken over our sinfulness, and we turn to God in true faith and repentance, realizing that I have no other option, no other choice, no other method of being saved except by the mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It's only at the cross. It's only in Him that there is salvation. And forgiveness or remission or removal of sin is only possible after one has truly repented. Are you hearing me today? There are people who have not truly repented and think that their sins are forgiven. How many ever thought about that? How many believe that's true? The Bible is very clear about this, that repentance and remission of sins must be preached in that order. First, one must repent, truly repent of their sin. That means that I surrender to God and I turn away from the old life. We've got a lot of people that are just putting patches on the old thing, just patching it up. For years, they just patch up. But they never fully repent to the point where they are broken in their spirit and they are willing to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. How many know that's what God requires? A contrite and broken spirit God will not despise. God will look upon that one who has true repentance in their heart, and He will receive them, and He will say the debt has been taken care of. It's already been finished. Amen? The price has been paid. Jesus Christ atoned for your sin. If you will repent and turn to God, you can truly be forgiven. You can become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In some cases, the old things have not passed away because they have not repented of the old things. It's one of those feel-good messages today. Repentance means stopping, listen, the sin in one's life. Oh yes. Yes, God requires that you stop sinning now, immediately. Immediately. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're allowing in your life that is sin, God says stop it immediately. Repent of that thing. Turn away from that thing. Don't allow that thing to drag you down, because unless you repent, there is no removal of the sin. There is no remission of sins without true repentance from the heart. Have you truly repented? Have you got your heart right with God? Have you given God your heart? Have you given Him your life? How many know that Jesus paid the ultimate price? He paid an ultimate price for you and for me. This is not to be tampered with and taken lightly. We are not to despise the goodness of God. We are to take seriously, we are to fear the Lord and depart from evil. We are to take seriously what God says about sin. Sin, and the wages of sin is death. Isn't it James that said a fountain cannot bring forth bitter and sweet water at the same time? You put a little bitter in the water and the whole thing is contaminated. If God says stop it, folks, it's time to stop it. If God says do it, it's time to do it. If we'd focus more on the do's than we do the don'ts, amen? We won't have time for the don'ts if we're doing the do's. And I found that the do's are fun. The do's are good.
Yes.
I enjoy serving Jesus. I enjoy walking with Jesus. It feels good to have a clean heart.
Yes.
To have a clear conscience. Yes. To have my sins forgiven. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm not walking in condemnation, and I'm not teaching condemnation today. I'm simply saying that one must come and take an evaluation of their heart and their life. Where do I really stand in God? If I were to die today, am I 100% certain that my heart is right with God and I'll be able to stand in the judgment? Why? Because I'm a good person? No. Because I have turned away and I've realized I'm not a good person. I've realized I'm a mess apart from Jesus Christ. And I realize that no longer am I going to live in those things. And I'm going to fully surrender my heart. Yield myself now to the Spirit of God. If I live in the Spirit, if I've received Jesus, it's time for me to cast off those things and begin to walk in the Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians, I want you to read this with me, 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He's speaking to the church. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." The Word of God has not changed. It's still the same. Look at verse 11. "But such were some of you." How many words are in here today? Come on. He didn't say everybody's there. He said, "But some of you were there." Some people still were there and some people still are. "Such were some of you." I'm glad that I am following the right master now. I've got peace in my heart. I've got joy in my life. I lay my head down on my pillow at night and I sleep well. Amen. I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And if I mess up, I simply go to my Father. Amen? Because we have an advocate, our Lord Jesus Christ, who stands up in our defense. And if we mess up, we can truly come to Him and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, would you forgive me?" And He says, "Yes." But even as He healed the woman, He sent her on her way. He said, "Now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." How many know that there are consequences for our actions? "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The proof of repentance was a changed life. What is the fruit of repentance? It is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? It is the fruit of a life that is in alignment and in agreement with God the Father, that has lived in obedience to the Lord and to His will. The law that is now written on the heart of the believer. And the Lord says, "This is the way that you should go. This is the way that you should walk." And the Spirit is there to point out the things that we need to deal with. Amen? The Spirit is there to bring conviction. Thank God for conviction. Why? Because God's going to do a removal. He's going to do a remission work in your life. He wants to clean out the junk from our hearts. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." God wants to wash away our sin. And the only sins that will be washed away are the sins that we have repented of. Are you with me today? Because there are a lot of people, unfortunately, who make excuses. I had somebody recently come. It's nobody from this church, but I recently come. And they claim to love Jesus. They claim to walk with Jesus. But there's the drugs, the adultery, you know, all this stuff going on. And somehow, folks, that doesn't line up with the truth. That is a person who is living a lie. That is a person who is in deception, who believes that somehow this is acceptable. And maybe the devil has convinced him that it's just okay. God would understand. No. God says, "Repent or perish." Unless you repent. Unless you forsake your sin. People need to get to the place where they say, "You know what? I'm not playing games anymore. My soul is too valuable to lose. Do you know you could lose your soul eternally in hell for failure to repent? God wants to forgive you. God wants to wash you and cleanse you. God wants to make you a new creation. But if you don't repent, it's not going to happen. Are you with me today? It doesn't matter whether we go to church or we sing in the choir, whatever we might do. We need to repent. God commands everywhere, all men, to repent. Why? Because He has appointed a day in which He shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained. And He has given assurance of this, and that He has raised Him from the dead. Jesus Christ is the judge, and the judge is at the door. He's the one that we're going to see, and He has refining eyes. He has eyes as a fire. He has eyes that are able to penetrate into the sea, into the deepest recesses of our being, into the closet, into the dark places. And God says, when I speak to you, and I tell that nation even to repent, if it doesn't repent, that the good that I have spoken over that nation will be taken away, and judgment will come. However, if they repent, the judgment that I determined against them can be turned around. How many know that's also true as individuals who make up a nation? If Americans will turn back to God, if the church in America will forsake its sin, if the people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Amen. Come on. Amen. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin. Then and heal their land. We've got to get back to the preaching, amen, of the message of repentance and remission. This message of repentance and remission of sins is to be preached, He said, in all nations. This is what God is saying today. I've provided atonement for your sin. I've provided a way of escape from the wrath that is coming upon the entire earth. And John told them the same thing. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Don't just tell me that you've repented. God knows it all. But you need to repent. We've rationalized all things that I believe there's someone here this morning that God has been warning you and telling you about something in your life that you've been allowing and you're not listening. You need to repent. You need to repent when the Spirit of God is dealing with you. How many know that God's not always going to strive with man? God strives for a season. He allows you a season of grace. He allows you a window of opportunity. He allowed the people in Noah's day a season of grace, a time of opportunity for them to get on the ark. And most did not believe. Most did not repent. Most probably mocked and said, oh, what a bunch of fanatics. What a bunch of Jesus freaks. I'll be a Jesus freak.
Any day.
Because heaven is my home. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I'm walking in God's grace. I'm walking in God's forgiveness. I have a clean heart today. I don't have any bones in the closet. We get before God and we say, God, if there's anything in my heart, just get rid of it, Lord. I repent. I turn to you. Take it away. If it's something God says to stop doing, let me give you some advice this morning. Stop immediately. I don't care how hard it may seem. Oh, you don't know how hard. Listen, if God says stop it, He said stop it because He's going to provide the grace for you to be set free from it. Oh, I just can't. Yes, you can. If the Spirit of God said stop it, how many know He's not going to tell you to stop something that you can't stop? What we need to do is get the rebellion out of our hearts, and we need to get our thinking in line with God's Word, with God's truth. Amen? And when God says, this is not right, it's not right. If God says it's not right, it's not right. If God says it's good, it's good. So let's focus on the goodness of God. Turn our eyes to Jesus. Focus on Him. Set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated. When you got your heart in the right direction, when your face is pointed towards Jesus, you're not going to be tied up and bound up in the rest of that stuff. Amen? God wants to break you free. God wants to set you free. Quit giving into it. Quit making excuses for it. It's time to repent. It's time to say, I don't care how difficult it gets. I am not going to do that which God told me not to. Amen. Shabarona Makita. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus truly repented. He was a tax collector. He was ripping people off. He was not liked very well in that society. But when Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming, he made his way up into a tree. Remember the story? And Jesus saw his heart. Zacchaeus had a heart of repentance. Zacchaeus wanted to get rid of the junk in his heart. Zacchaeus wanted to have a clean heart. Zacchaeus wanted a clean slate. Zacchaeus wanted a new beginning. Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner. And when he saw Jesus coming, he wanted to get a look at Jesus because he saw his answer coming down the road. And Jesus knew his heart. And that's why Jesus stopped. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. We're going to your house. And at supper at Zacchaeus' house, the Lord said, If I've stolen anything, I'm going to give back fourfold, was it? I'm going to restore that which I've stolen and then some. And Jesus said, this day, salvation has come to your house. Why? He didn't just say, I'm sorry, Jesus. He said, not only am I sorry, Jesus, but I'm going to change the way that I live. I have repented. I'm turning away from my old life, my old sins, and I'm going to follow you now. And the Lord saw his heart. And that's the time when true salvation came and he was transformed. No longer can we allow a patch job in our lives, folks? Do you see it? You can't just add a new piece of garment to an old garment. Amen? You can't patch yourself up. God says, throw away the old garment. Get rid of it. Turn from your last life, your old life, and get a new life. You can't have a new life until you first discard the old life, until you repent and you make up your mind that I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm forsaking my sin. How many this morning say, I need remission of sin? Amen? I do. There's times when I need to get something right with God. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?